So much of what I do, like you said, is not about Ricardo. I would guess that maybe 90% is about helping people reach their goals. In my life, I've done so many different things. I have such distinct life chapters. I mean, at 21, I was a captain in St. Martin, Caribbean, of a beautiful boat with a wonderful crew, learning leadership and teaching meteorology and sailing. You know, I'm quite comfortable in many areas. In fact, when companies hire me to do talks around the world in their different events, I'm very clear that I'm not a motivational speaker. If they want to call me an inspirational speaker, that's okay. But my job is not to motivate, but it's to provide tools. And my toolbox is quite complete. I've done so many things. And so if something that I do can help you and something that you do or you're trying to do, it's a real pleasure and honor and privilege to be able to be in that position where I can actually help you. So from a very early age, even in university, people would knock on my room, and some people, I didn't even know them. They were like, "Hey, Ricardo, hi. You know, this friend of yours said that I should come and speak to you. I'm going through some stuff. Do you mind if we talk a little bit?" And I could never say no. And of course, come in. Hi, how can I help you? And so I have no formal training in coaching, but I think I've been coaching people for over 20 years. When I created the communication agency, the slogan, the tagline was cultivating human potential. That's what I called this, the tagline of our communication agency. It was about helping people, because when a company needs a new logo and a website and an event, a campaign, whatever, that company has a product or a service, but actually that company is people. There are people behind that logo and that service. And so that's where I went in. It was listening to the people. It's going in and speaking to a CEO. Now, it's something I need to understand, and also for people who are listening to this. When you get called by Microsoft, Oracle, Procter & Gamble, a major bank, a major insurance company, you know, some of these Fortune 500 companies, and they hire me to do a talk at one of their events, I go very deep. I don't just talk to the, you know, human resources manager or the event organizer or the marketing person. Usually I get to liaise with founders, you know, top global managing directors, vice presidents of global whatever. And, you know, I'm talking to these people on a very intimate level of how's it going? And they're briefing me. They're telling me what they want me to talk about at the event. And I'm like, okay, that's great. That makes sense. I can address those issues. I can talk about this and that. And then I ask them very simply, how are you doing? Oh, yeah, we're doing good. And I'm like, great. But how are you doing? And I love to go deep. And when it's smaller groups, like 100 people, 200 people, if I can, I will sit and listen to the human resources person or the marketing person telling me everything they know, everything they can tell me about every single person I'm going to be with at that event. This takes hours and days of preparation. It's not the first time that I actually go undercover. I dress as a hotel staff with their uniform, and I'm serving drinks. I'm showing people to their rooms. I'm learning about the humans that I'm going to be talking to. This means I don't just talk generically to them with a nice presentation with beautiful pictures. No, I want to know what those people are going through and how I can help them, and therefore choose my message accordingly, not based on what I see the companies doing on the stock exchange, what I see on the Financial Times or their beautiful adverts. I want to know how those people are doing. And if somebody in that group specifically needs me to address something specifically to help them specifically, because that's what makes change happen. That's when you can bring the whole team along with you when you're crossing an ocean, because you start with 10 people, you got to finish with 10 people, and you all need to work together. Obviously, most of what I do on the ocean is alone, but I also sail with people, and I've done a lot of sailing with teams. And it's to do with the planning and being aware of the details of each one. So inevitably, I started getting people saying, "Hey, that was a great event. Thank you. do you mind if we talk a little bit after the event, just one-on-one? There's something I needed to ask you. I don't want to ask in front of my 300 colleagues or my CEO or my president. And that's how the coaching began. I started making myself available to be with people in a safe, simple environment. It's not necessarily in a closed door room environment. Sometimes our coaching sessions are cycling, walking on a beach, walking through nature. Sometimes, and now obviously because of Corona, a lot of what I'm doing is via video conferencing and Skype calls and WhatsApp calls. Keep people together to just make sure people are good, happy, safe, making a plan, executing that plan. So I think I'm a co-pilot in the lives of a few people. And then there is this clear, beautiful moment when they just stop calling. They would call every day, then the two or three times a week, then once a week, and then they disappear. And then a few weeks later, you get a message saying, hey, sorry, I didn't get back to you. Just wanted to let you know everything's okay. Everything's moving. I'll be in touch. And that's the moment I know that they no longer need the co-pilot. And I can press the eject button. I can parachute out of that plane because those people are now on their way flying without me. And that is wonderful. It's so good to see that moment where they begin to just open their wings. And all I've done is help them open their wings and maybe put a few more feathers in their wings as they were spreading those wings. I just love helping people and I love seeing them achieve whatever it is they're trying to achieve. And, you know, I go really deep, like really, really deep. I do everything and anything I can to cause the necessary disruption to sometimes break stuff down and reprogram stuff you learned at school, stuff your mom and dad told you, any trauma that you've been through, a bad breakup, a heartbreak. We can go to all those things, love those moments, but those moments do not have to define who you are today and what you're trying to achieve for tomorrow. And it's a beautiful voyage that we do together. And
you reverse engineer it, right? Yeah.
I guess. I mean, you can call it this. You can call it coaching, mentoring. I don't call it anything. I just call it being there for people. And there's so much love and commitment and just, you know, heart open wide to really achieve that necessary change, you know? And sometimes it's really interesting when I'm listening to people and you know, I'm coaching two soccer players right now. I'm coaching a lot of young people. I'm coaching people in their mid-50s. I got a few couples going through stuff, athletes over the years, businessmen, top businessmen who are in the public eye, but who are petrified to talk in public, petrified to get up in front of their people. And, you know, I'm backstage helping these people out, you know? Yeah. And it's wonderful to see that sometimes it just takes half a turn of a screw to connect all their dots. It's just half a turn. We don't need to change anything. We just need to take what already exists and be like, wait a minute. Okay, wait, let's try this micro change. And that tiny change was all that was needed because most people already have everything they need for things to work out. It's my job to listen, absorb, create the puzzle pieces, make a decent puzzle, join the dots together and be like, aha, look at this. Yeah. Did you notice this? Had you realized this? We just need to shift a little thing here, shift a little thing there, and you're on your way. It's fantastic. It's really, like I said, it's a real privilege to be able to be in a position where people ask for help and trust and really follow through with the plan, and you see them succeed and excel. It's wonderful. It's one of the best feelings.
Ricardo, I'm listening to you now, and I would like to take this conversation to kind of a philosophical, sociological discussion. And the reason I'm saying that is, so I work with technology, and I work with people all over the world, multicultures and stuff like that, and I do a lot of work on understanding a bit of the technology impact on people's life and in societies and behaviors. And over time, I've been paying a lot of attention to you know, social media and influencers and guys like Gary Vee and all of them have a lot of good stuff and some other less good stuff, but that's life. But how do you see from the work you do and the people you talk, the current, the current society being so much in a hurry and so much in, everyone is sharing everything. Everyone looks to be an influencer or a content holder and giving advices to everyone. How do you see that impacting not just people's performance, but also people's life?
That's a very interesting question. And I think it requires multiple layers of a reply. I don't know when you're going to air this conversation. But today, the day we're recording this, of March 2020, and it's going crazy out there because of coronavirus. And Portugal is hours away from going into emergency state. Quite likely we'll go into emergency state. And, you know, life has changed in a matter of days. And we are shown that the way we have built this society is incredibly fragile, incredibly vulnerable, because we are totally disconnected from nature. We somehow think that humans are not nature. Somehow we think that humans are not part of planet Earth, that we did not arise through nature. You know, independent whether it was aliens or Darwin, we're in this together. We're in this grain of sand flying through the universe called planet Earth, which should be called planet Ocean, by the way, because there's a lot more ocean than there is Earth. And planet Ocean is such a beautiful name for a grain of sand that has 70% blue and the rest is land. So I think Corona inevitably will bring a restructuring of societies and a restructuring of how we live our lives and what is mostly important. And nature always shows the way. Nature always finds a way through. The speed at which we were going is clearly unsustainable. In the news this week, we've seen that the canals in Venice have cleared up. The water is clean. Dolphins and animals are visiting the Venice canals again. There's 1 million less tons of carbon dioxide going into the atmosphere per day, just because everything has just slowed down. And I think that's beautiful. I think it's wonderful that we're having something that through disruption and pain, and obviously I'm deeply sorry for everybody that's affected and everyone that's being deeply affected, and it's going to hit everyone in some way or another. In some way or another, we are all going to be affected, whether it's jobs, sources of income, investments, family, friends. It's fascinating. It's historic. It's groundbreaking. It's uncharted territory. We are living in fascinating times. And I think out of this, there will be unexpected heroes. There will be unexpected leaders. And I think leadership will come from people that are in society, that are not famous, are not influencers, are not necessarily in governments or leadership roles. They are the natural born leaders who will keep calm and will keep everything together around them. Those people will pop up and will hold society together and keep things moving to the next stage. If those are the incredible Instagram influencers with hundreds of thousands or maybe millions of followers, I don't know. But it is interesting that today we all have a free stage from which to share our ideas and our ideals. And some of those people have a lot of influence, of course, and that influence isn't necessarily positive. Mm-hmm. But if we are able to be sensible and use clear common sense, it's fascinating that I can log on to social media and hear what somebody has to say. Mm-hmm. I can hear somebody's genuine opinion, whether we agree, whether it makes sense. That person has the power of communication and communicating to the world in the palm of their hands. And I think in terms of technology and society, I think it's incredible. I think it's I mean, I was born in 1977. We had a phone in the house. It was connected to the wall with a cable, and it was one of those rotating dials, and that's it. You know, and then came the mobile phone and then internet, and it's like, wow, all in my lifetime, in our generation. So I think we have to be careful with everything that's published and everything we see, and we have to not follow everything and believe in everything and trust everything straight away. I think it's very important that we, you know, we take it easy, we check our sources. There's a massive access to information, which creates an excess of information. And so we have to be careful with that. But at the same time, I think it's beautiful that you can just jump on a stage, press a button, and you've just created an Instagram Live, and the world can jump in and see what you have to say. You know, we've seen these reporters in war zones who are sometimes just kids with a phone showing the world what's really going on. We saw that happening in Syria. We've seen it happen, you know, in Palestine. It's, you know, it's fascinating, but we have to be careful, because I was thinking the other day, and just look at this for a moment. 100 years ago, you would live in a village, a town, a small town, a small city, and the people you knew were probably just the people of that small town and small city. And occasionally, maybe you'd jump on the back of a horse or something, a cart, and you were taken to another village, and people would meet, and you would hear the news of your village and the next village, but you wouldn't hear the news of your country. You wouldn't hear the news of your continent, and you would definitely not hear the news of the planet. And look at now, 2020, instantly on your phone, you can be aware of everything. You can listen to radio stations, thousands of radio stations in any country right now. You can be aware of what's happening in Argentina, in Ethiopia, in Australia, New Zealand, California. You're immediately aware of everything almost in real time. Yet we are the same construction, the same humans with the same amount of cells, with the same brain. How can we handle all this? How can the same structure of bones and brain and heart handle all this information when we are the same that 100 years ago had none of this? So I think that's where meditation comes in, because it just calms everything down, because it's like same brain, loads of information, loads of stimulus. Whoa, you know, where are we going with this? So meditation, time with nature, sport that takes you into that meditative state, like swimming, cycling, you got time with yourself. I think that is so important to keep the peace and keep ourselves in control, especially in times of struggle.
Yes. But
isn't it fascinating now that all these families are staying together, spending time together? We're learning that, yes, we can work from home. Yes, we can educate our children without them having to go to school. It's all still working, and yet nobody's going to work right now because of Corona. Correct. Hardly anybody, you know. So it's very interesting what this is teaching society as a whole.
It is. And I fully agree with the meditation. Not that I'm very good at meditation, but I do jogging and sports, individual sports, so I can get my time on my own. But you know, you said something that it kind of goes very, very aligned with what I've been also thinking the last several days. Is 100 years ago, we had a very limited amount of information we could get. I think probably 30 years ago, let's say 20 years ago, we still had quite a limited amount of information. At least we had a significant delay in a lot of stuff. And probably when your father was more active in journalism, the way journalism was done was a lot more with checking sources, checking content, and go through different checks to make sure that you are providing correct, informed information, right? Today, everything is fast. Everything is for yesterday. Everything is an alert, is a breaking news. And do you think that in the last 10 years where this really went completely crazy, people have created the mental structures and the way of living and consuming that is healthy? Are we a healthy society, or there is still a lot of work for us to understand that we can we can have all this information, but we can also have a healthier mindset and a healthier mind through this journey.
I think we've never been so aware of what's good and what's not good. There is so much information that we can really choose to eat right, exercise right, take care of our hearts and souls, our families, our children, our elders. It's all there. But having said that, and I hate to generalize, I mean, some village in Brazil, right inside the Amazon, they're probably living in balance and harmony. So it's very difficult to generalize humanity, to generalize a society or a country even. I mean, I see that the world so easily criticizes America, like, oh yeah, the Americans. But I've lived in America and I love America and I think it's a wonderful, wonderful land. I live there for almost 2 years and some of my closest friends are American. I speak with them almost on a daily basis. And, you know, I cannot generalize a country like America and say, oh yeah, the Americans. You know, some of them think that having a gun is great. A lot of them think that it's completely insane, that the gun laws need to be changed. You cannot generalize. But trying to answer your question, I generally think, trying not to generalize, but I generally think that as a whole, modern society is out of control. It's a completely insane world where mom and dad have to work to pay the bills, leaving their child in daycare at 7 a.m. so that they can be taken to school at 9 a.m. to learn in the same way that school has taught children for generations, when we are living in a free digital world where children should learn really, really interesting things like meditation, farming, first aid, mechanics, house building with sustainable materials, permaculture. I think those are the skills that we kind of really need. Because to have a brilliant child at mathematics, and if they're all brilliant at mathematics, that is probably not what's going to save us. Mm-hmm. We need to slow down. Families need to be together. Divorce rates need to come down. We need to be in more authentic relationships, and not because it's convenient for economics or for a visa or because you're lonely. You know, we need to stop teaching people the romantic side of love. That's like, oh, you know, I water you, you water me, we hold hands and we're going to be happy forever. That is not how it works. When are we going to teach humans that actually you need to water yourself first? You need to take care of your shit. You need to face your shit, face your traumas, get all those ghosts out of the closet, figure out who you are and work on yourself and make yourself the best possible version of yourself. And then you'll realize that you're not lonely. You're not looking for a partner. You're complete as you are. And then you're lucky enough to meet someone who's done the same work, who doesn't need you for anything. They just love you because they love you, not because you're trying to fulfill a void, a hole, anything. Two complete people come together, and that person is watering themselves first. You are watering yourself first. And from the overflow, if there is any overflow, then you can water each other. But nobody teaches this in school. We look at a way to feel complete. Oh, you complete me. You fulfill me. No, that is not how it works. And so we're covering ourselves with things that fulfill us, like makeup and perfume and different clothes and more clothes and a better car. And it's all layers of nothingness. None of this really matters right now at all. When there is a virus that you cannot see that is picking everybody and anybody, regardless of how much money they have or how much fame they have, you realize that buying the best car, the shiny car, the big watch, more makeup, more clothes, actually, none of that is interesting. None of that is what we should be focused on, you know? So I think that Corona is a real blessing, and it's not even a blessing in disguise. It is kicking our ass. It is forcing humanity to stop, analyze, reprogram, and find better ways to live, be more caring. You know, I'm helping in my local town and community. I've been spending all day driving around, shopping for people who cannot leave their homes for whatever reason. Everybody's in quarantine, okay? So I'm using my time my good health and, you know, my flexibility to be able to help these people do their shopping list, come back, give them their shopping safely, so they don't have to leave their quarantine bubble, you know? Yeah. And I am noticing in the brief human interactions that I'm having that everybody's more grateful to see another human. People are saying good morning more. They're saying hello, goodbye, thank you, be safe, take care. We're looking out for each other more. Mm-hmm. How very interesting that in a time of crisis that feels like war, but we're not at war, people are opening their hearts. They're looking at what really, really matters. They're being more generous. They're being more aware of the neighbor's needs. Isn't that beautiful? So if we come out on the other side in a way where society is looking out for each other more, I think we're going to be a better species, because the way we were going was way too selfish, way too egocentric, way too much about money and more, more, more. How much is enough?
Yes. Just by listening to you, and I'm not being fair because I follow you before, so but just by listening to you, you give a lot of relevance to peace, to faith, to environment, to nature. That is a lot of who you are, right?
I mean, I've never disconnected from nature. I've always been nature. There's never been a moment where I just became that typical responsible human with a 9-to-5 and saving up for retirement. I've always just been a little animal of nature. And so I do have a very different life. And I know I've annoyed some people along the way because I have a different life. But actually, some of those people call me sometimes like, I understand you now. Now I get what you were saying back in school, back in uni. I've always been focused on the very simple basics of life, which is be there for others, love your neighbor, love unconditionally, love more, forgive quickly, open your heart, focus on what really matters, eat right, take care of yourself. You know, I mean, the simple things, the very, very simple things. I have a very simple life. I bought it for 500 euros in 2014, and it's from 1997. You know, could I have a better car? Sure. Do I need one? No, this one still works. It looks terrible. Honestly, it looks like something out of a Mad Max movie. It hardly has any paint, you know, but it works. You know, it's pretty safe. It gets me from A to B, but most of the time, public transport, 90% of the time, public transport, bicycle, skateboard. You know?
Skateboard, right? You just I remember to see the skateboards on your when you were in Panisiu.
Yeah.
With the boat. I love that. I skateboard every day to the office.
It's fantastic. It's a great means of transport. I mean, don't ask me to do any tricks, you know, but I'm quite happy to go from A to B on the skateboard. So my house is a super simple house. It was built in 1977, the year I was born. And, you know, it's tiny, it's cozy. I have a small fridge. It's off for most of the year. I have nothing to put in my fridge because I don't, you know, I'm vegan. So what I eat is usually fresh. So I don't have to put anything in the fridge. And all the food that I eat is simple stuff. And I live on a farm. So I eat my own oranges. I just picked 3 kilos of oranges to distribute to these families that I'm helping out to keep their immune systems up, you know? Yes. So yes, I live in the real world, but then I also have my own little real world, which is very, very simple. And, you know, I'm just basically doing everything I can to help those around me. But everyone's talking about quarantine, and I'm realizing that that's how I live my life anyway.
You've been in quarantine for a while.
I think I've been in quarantine for quite a long time because that's kind of how I live my life. I spend a lot of time in silence, a lot of time in isolation, and a lot of time without speaking to a single human and just having a very, very simple life. Mm. So I'm not actually feeling it yet. I may feel it. I may be one of the affected. I still feel healthy. But if I catch corona, I'm hoping that, you know, my immune system and my healthy lifestyle will help me through this, which is why I'm so comfortably assisting others and driving more in the last few days than I have in the last few months, just driving to people, taking food to them and medicine, you know. But actually, my life is one long, peaceful quarantine in unity with nature as much as possible.
Which sounds pretty, you know, mine is quite the opposite. So I travel and I work for corporates. My eating habits are terrible. I sleep terrible. I suffer from, I'm dyslexic. So, and I also have permanent tinnitus. But I've made myself happy. I made a podcast about veganism a few weeks ago with a lady from the United States. It was a fantastic conversation I had with her about veganism. And my co-founder she's vegan, and she's always explaining to me how much I have to change to become a vegan. For the record, I'm working on that. But I live in a city, in the middle of a city. I'm now in the 21st floor. You can hear the bell in the background and the city around, lights. And sometimes I must admit to you, I must tell you, I like the city, but I also sometimes miss the peace. And I was born in a very small place in the north of Portugal, and sometimes I miss the peace. And I'm very okay with myself. I don't need human beings around me. My wife keeps complaining about that. Ricardo, we are coming to a probably end in terms of time. But I like to close my conversations with, not just with thank you for joining me and wish you the best, but rather with something for people to think, right? This project is not about sales. This project is about sharing people and sharing motivation and sharing goodness around the world, so we can all kind of do something more or even find ourselves in something that we never thought before. And so I like to leave every podcast with something for people to take home, think about it, reflect, and maybe come to different conclusions, maybe just conclude exactly what they knew before. And I usually ask my guests to give the thought of the day for people to take home. So what is yours?
Wow. Well,
you know that, you remember this Daniel Oliveira, he always asks what do your eyes tell? It's more or less my last question.
Yeah, I've been there. Yes. It was it was a very wonderful conversation with Daniel. First of all, thanks for this interesting conversation that went by very, very fast. That was quick, right? Yes. I hope your listeners enjoy what we've shared today. And I look forward to following through on everything that you do with your Talk It Through project, which is great. And I love the logo and everything you're doing with this. As a message, at a very sensitive time that humanity is going through, I cannot stress enough that it is so important to go deep, to really go deep, to really accept that everything has now slowed down, but there is so much good in that. And switch off the television. I have not had a TV for over 12 years. You don't need to be fully aware of everything that's happening everywhere, or if sadly somebody's died in the Philippines or another person died in Italy. Stay calm. Focus on what's around you. And I'm sure that most of the people that are listening to this right now, there's nothing missing in your life right now. Absolutely nothing missing. Be sensible, be wise, care for your body and soul, love more, love unconditionally, and you'll probably be okay through this. Do not let panic affect you. And, you know, I'll see you on the other side. If you want to reach out, it's easy on my Instagram. It's Ricardo Faith, Peace, Love. Faith as in not a religious faith, but faith, the word faith. So Ricardo Faith, Peace, Love. And I'll reply to you, and I'm right here if you want to chat about something. Thank you.
Ricardo, great pleasure. And I really thank you for taking the time. I think it was a fantastic conversation. And I'm hoping that everyone enjoys as much as I did.